So today we have a very, very, very special guest. Somebody I've known for ages. I don't know why you're shaking, nodding your head because I'm hyping you. But yeah, so I've known this person for ages. He's the person behind my first few videos, and he's the person that made the beat for my podcast, like all of my shows, actually. Come think about it. But I will let him introduce himself. He's gonna tell us his name, tell us what he does, and he can give any shout outs if he is so, if he wants to. So yeah, over to you.
Hi everyone, my name is Toyin Oresanya, better known as Toyin Ores. I'm an artist, producer, slash sound engineer. And shout out to myself.
Wow, man.
What's not? I hype myself up now.
Yeah, so basically, right, today we are gonna be, originally we wanted to talk about music, like how you got into music and producing and all these great stuff. But we were having a really interesting conversation about the effects sex has on male mental health. Like that sounds so weird. But yeah, I know, it's just weird because I don't think, when I think like guys and sex, I just think addicts. That's like the word that I think, especially in this country. I just think men that have lack self-control. Literally, that's like what I think. But it was really interesting hearing him talk about like the impacts and the effects, and just like how the his process of learning and unlearning. So I feel like today you're gonna be hearing a lot less of me and a lot more from my guests. So do you wanna tell us the first time you actually, like, you know, did the deed?
I'm still not sure. But I shall know it is either I was going 18 or 19, or I was 19. But it was in the back of my car.
Guy. So trashy. That is like such a typical. That's like a movie type of thing. Like one of those old 90s movies. Like people always lose it on like prom night at the back of like one guy's car. Like that's sounds so cliche.
Do you know what's funny? That prom night thing, because this was like all... like in the US, by the way. So like in America, like prom, that traditional prom, that's actually a thing though. Like I remember like I was someone's prom dates, and like on my show was like, so after the show we're gonna, and I was like, huh? Like this is a thing. Like it's actually a thing.
I don't know.
Like Americans view prom night as a rite of passage to like adulthood, like oh now, because this is like the idea of dating.
But like I feel like, right, should that be a good, I don't know, I feel like as a woman, well, to be honest, I feel like anybody that kind of knows me or follows me knows that, like, I feel like the world is so hypersexual. I don't necessarily think it's a great thing because I think it takes, like, the relationship out of things. So, like, people don't actually get to know people anymore. So, like, having it as a rite of passage, I mean, so are you now saying that people that haven't had sex, like the idea of having sex on prom night, does that now mean the rest of us are now not adults or what? Because
I mean, well, so this is what me, I'm also putting that into assumption, because remember the way we address sex in Nigeria and the way other countries address sex is completely different. So for Americans, they're more open about it, they're more like sex ed is a topic in school, like for them. So by this time they all know what sex is, they know what precautions to take. In some cases I've seen fathers give their sons condoms on their prom nights.
Like, can you imagine any Nigerian father doing
exactly
such?
Exactly, like basically it has become a conversation that parents can have with their kids at the particular, as well, parents are more comfortable talking with their kids about sex at a particular age in America as opposed to Nigeria, because first Nigeria were stuck on religion and
morals. But they're quite religious there too though. Like you have the like extra uber religious. I remember, like, when I was in university in Penn State, like, the Christian groups were, like, super Christian. Like, they didn't even used to party or drink or anything like that. Yeah. Like, they were the type that married straight out of college and everything.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I think we learned our religion from America, to be honest.
I mean, if we can, honestly, we can argue Christianity in Nigeria was honestly influenced by our colonizers.
Well.
Even though, yes, we have made it our own in a certain way,
we
but
really have
those core values exactly. But it has become such a, honestly, religion has also become a culture.
Yeah,
in Nigeria, it has become part of our culture. So to the point where like. People are look like honestly like I've even got some difference where I've had to like unlearn things that I learned in church because like when you really think about it like especially when you actually start going to like church in like in the other
like countries
like I start to realize that almost that when you really think about it there are certain things that we're thinking that oh no God is going to I'm going to suffer because I did this thing wrong blah 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 but then like you realize that like oh like. It's actually not as bad as I thought it was. For example, I remember in church, especially like in Harrisburg too, our pastor was talking about, you know, every sin is basically the same.
Holds the same weight.
Yeah, exactly. So if a gay person was come to my church, I wouldn't chase them away. If anything, I'll invite them to come in.
Yeah. I mean, somebody once said, and this is really fascinating, is somebody said, church is a place, it's like a hospital, it's a place for the sick, it's not a place for the healed. And I found it was really profound because the person was basically like, the reason why a lot of fundamental things we do in Nigeria, especially with churches, doesn't make sense because you actually want to invite people in. You don't want to say, okay, because you're not like us, you can't attend. Like, because it almost becomes a cult. Like, you start to exhibit cultish behavior. But we are digressing from our point.
True. Well, yeah, it's pretty ironic that I'm going for trust to sex. back on my car. Back on my car, like, she had lost her virginity before me.
Okay, so you were...
Yeah, I was a virgin, I was a virgin.
You were the saint.
But it's a situation where, like, me and this individual, before, you know, we even had sex, it was a conversation that we already had. At the time that I met her, she was also, like, a virgin. She actually wanted us to have sex and take our virginity together. I just wasn't with it, like... So, because, like, for me, it's, like, I didn't know anything about sex at the time. So, it's, like, I don't know, because my idea of taking a virginity was, oh, blood is going to gush out at this time. So, me, I'm thinking, like, I don't want that. And, again, I have a fear of blood. Yes. My own blood scares me. That's how bad it is. So, like, imagine someone else's blood now on my penis.
Sounds a bit uncomfortable.
Exactly. I would freak out. So, me, I was seeing it more as, like, I'd rather do it with someone that already has experience in it, you know, than just go blindly into it. Because that also ruins a lot of people's experiences.
So, okay. I guess the next question was, what was the experience like for you?
My first experience? It was amazing.
I feel like... Every guy I ask this question always says the same thing. Like, how amazing it is, how great it is. And then on the flip side, you ask women, and it's kind of like, oh, it was shit. It was crazy. Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it. Like, it wasn't fun. So it's like, it seems to almost be a very one-sided thing for, like, the genders. And I'm wondering if that has also to do with, like, you know, purity culture or, like, because do guys experience the effects from purity culture? So breaking down, purity culture is like, I think it was more of a movement in the 90s about like, you know, people like say, like churches saying...
saving themselves to marriage type thing.
Yeah, not even just saving themselves to marriage. Like, don't date unless you want to get married. Like, that time. Only date when you're ready to get married. Like, go out in group dates. Like, don't do anything more than holding hands. That type of thing. So it's interesting. So do you think that have guys been affected by purity culture? Even like in the Bible, it talks about sex being fornication. But I find guys hold less guilt. So the question is why?
Why are we? So it's funny because you were talking, because when we're talking about like the biological effects of sex, and when I read that about, I was like, men really don't have any biological consequences sexually.
Yeah.
As opposed to catching like an STD or anything like that. Yeah. But besides that, there's no biological consequences that come with sex for men.
Yeah.
So men in general feel less guilty because there's less punishment.
Okay.
And if anything, like for men, it's like, it's pleasure. So yeah. Like, and like, but the saying that saying of a man would knock anything.
Yeah.
Honestly, when you really think about it, especially when it comes to sex, like, I'm trying to just because the person is ugly doesn't mean
the vagina is not good. I saw a video about that recently about like how, you know, with guys, it doesn't have to be have anything to do with personality,
mm-hmm.
or looks or anything like that. Fundamentally, just like anybody can get it. And let's touch on that, like why, like because at the end of the day, everybody has preferences.
Yeah.
So, and I know I always used to attack you for this in university. Like, ha! I used to roast this boy.
Oh my days.
So my question is, how do you justify it in your mind that like, you know, you, and I know I've saved you a few times from like messing around with some interesting people.
Okay.
So my question is, why would you even put yourself in those situations when you don't really rate the babe in the first place?
Okay, so for me, I see, let me give a case where everybody can relate. When you are trying to catch a wine at the club, would you no just hear the analogy first. Her face said just change. Hear the analogy first and here's my reasoning. Catching wine in the club. Now from a guy's perspective, I'll get to the girl's perspective now. From a guy's like perspective, you're in the club, yeah. Obviously as a guy, I want to catch the best wine with the girl the fact that has in the club. Now, there are babes that they have ass, I don't know how to twerk, I don't know how to do it. You're telling me that wine will be nice? No. Whereas there'll be a situation where it'll now be the babe that probably has the smallest ass in the club and is doing something with her waist that you're gonna dance with and you actually enjoy yourself. Also, like for women as well, would you catch a wine with the guy that doesn't know how to move his waist?
I mean, no, but I'm not gonna be like with the guy that is ugly or I don't know, it's just standards. Like, I'd rather just stay on my own, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, true. You can also argue that. So, of course, I know, like, for women, when you creep up behind them, they look back at you to make sure they are fine.
Yeah.
So, understand that. But now bringing it back to sex. Now, I'm not so mew. I'm not saying that's me. I'm not going to say no. But, but for me, it has, like, especially because, like, for me, it's like, me, I have my own preferences in sex and I have my requirements. I like a freak.
Mm.
Now, a freak does not. Now, if a fine girl doesn't mean that she's a freak. If anything,
no. So we're not. So okay, let's go rewind back, right?
Yeah.
You don't know these things until you have. No, you can't say you can tell. Like you don't know these things.
Be wrong.
How do you know? Say you've been saying this for years, and it still does not make sense. But using this from a logical point of view, right?
Yeah.
When you meet somebody, it's not like there's a certain look. Them crazy freaky girls.
Oh yeah, no.
So do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for you have to finish. It's like, you know what's that saying? Clap before dance. Now clap begins before dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have allowed yourself to be in that space with somebody that's not necessarily your spec or your rate.
Yeah.
Before you get to like the end of the dance, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, why are you even there with somebody that you're not even like guy? I've seen you like. Avoid babes before. So the question is like, how did you even get yourself in that situation?
Are we...
before you even get to like the end of the dance?
End of the dance. I mean, well, so okay, so for me, this is how me I gauge. Okay, obviously, and even when it comes to like, you know, freaks and everything, so as well. When you are trying to catch a wine with a babe, there's some babes that just from how they are moving, you already know, okay, like this one will give you a nice wine. Nah, CG, trust me, that's like. Every guy that is just knows what I'm trying to say. There are babes that you see, baby be there giving you, like, you know, she'll be there, like, moving her hips, like, you know, enjoying the music. Honestly, and also, there's some songs, so as well, that because this is also like being like an artist. This is where like I have some perks when it comes to the, like, you know, these things.
Artistic nature.
Because there are some songs that when you just press play, women naturally are already like, you know, like moving to the music.
Yeah.
And you already know if a song is going to be good by how she has perceived the song. Now, mm-hmm. if I intended for this song to be those songs that we play when you want to catch one at the club,
mm-hmm.
and women are not moving to it, then I've not achieved my goal for the song. Mm-hmm. So now, when a woman, like when, you know, the woman starts like, you know, swing the hips left and right, you can really tell by who knows what they're doing. When your waist is like, even though it's not one of the most complicated acts of, mm-hmm. of the human body, you can tell who knows how to wind their waist from just watching.
Okay.
And automatically, and quite frankly, catching a wind is mostly involved with the waist.
So what you're saying is, because it's potentially good sex, you're going to now knack somebody that's on a daily basis, you might like not even really enjoy having conversation with.
You know, it's funny because I had a buddy, right, that me and her on a normal day, we wouldn't talk in person, we wouldn't text ourselves, but after sex, we just, obviously, this is a pillow talk, but we just have a dope conversation after sex, but once we leave that room, that's it. It's on the next time I see you.
See, I just don't, so this is like, now I'm being like personally biased, yeah. And saying like, I just don't get it. Like, I feel like, part of me feels like, haven't we like lost connections with people? Because it's so easy, you can get it anywhere, like, and with anybody. Like,
yeah.
Put enough people in a room, put enough alcohol, put the right music, put enough rooms, and you have a party or whatever, right? Yeah. So my thing for it as a guy, at some point, don't you feel like you're being used?
Oh yeah, of course. And this is now where, like, you know, when I said, okay, obviously, so everything that we're talking about, this is old Tony, by the way. This is not
oh wow,
this is not current Tony, please. So let's not think I'm a hoe that's knocking everybody. But
used to,
I mean
it's okay, everybody has their whole face.
Everybody has their whole face.
That is such a toxic compound thing to say. No,
everybody has their whole face, and you know, and that's calm. I mean, obviously, at some point, I did get it. Like, it got to a point where, like, it even got to a point where it was addiction, honestly, almost. Like, I remember the time when, like, especially like in uni, like from junior to senior year, I was going through a lot personally, and my only escape, because at the time, I wasn't really a smoker at the time, and I also wasn't, and drinking was only when I was going to the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, during the week when you're not going to the club, and you can't drink alcohol up and down, what else can you do to escape your reality?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sex. And honestly, sex is a drug. Like, people don't want to admit this, but, like, you get the same... If anything, I think there was a study about people were comparing drugs and sex, and this, like, the high for sex was, if not higher, almost the same as
getting drug. It from drugs.
So it becomes an addiction. So at that point, and, like, every addiction, it gets to a point where you're numb to it. And you want something new.
Mm.
And I feel like that's where people's, like, you know, sexual like desires like expand down there into more things. There are things that I said that I'll never do sex wise that now I'm doing them.
Mm.
Because at some point the standard missionary or doggy, it got boring to me. So yeah, you have to up your game. Exactly. So you have to up your game or What's the word? Is it your kink or basically find what you like sexually and this is also something that I feel like people also don't even touch on, because, like, you know how they always say sexuality, like, you know, is, you know, fluid. Like, basically, and like, I know this for women mostly. There are some guys who have that admit it, that at some point they find like other men like attractive. They wouldn't admit it or they wouldn't even act on it. But because you find another man attractive, doesn't mean that, oh, you're sexually attracted to this person, but because attraction has already but by this time your sexual desires have already been like fulfilled to a point. Now your attraction has to find something else.
So it's like, you know, when you get bored of rice, you now move on to plantain.
You move on to plantain. Now, I'm not saying I'm gay. But moving forward,
this is a safe place. We don't judge here. Everybody's fluidity is all good and dandy. Personally,
I'm weak.
I mean, if you have anything to confess, feel free.
No, I'm chilling. No, I like my babes. I like pussy.
Anyway, why are you so vulgar?
That's just who I am. But I'm not afraid to admit if another man is attractive or not.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just tell that to
some men, Nigeria, especially Nigerian men.
Do you know the thing is, what I feel is, I think sometimes you can be attracted to somebody's like vibe. Mm. And I think we link every type of connection with somebody or chemistry into something that has to be sexual. And I don't necessarily think that's the truth. Mm. I think you can vibe with somebody, have mad connection, had mad chemistry, and sex never has to come into play. And I think that we focus so much on it, and I think maybe that's also why we lose so many relationships moving forward, because that person that was actually a great friend, you decide to model it with your sexual urges and needs when it was never really necessary to like dabble in that field, whether it's female, male, whatever you're into, right? And I think maybe it's also a slippery slope, because I think we also start looking at people as objects. I know as a woman, I feel like I don't give enough credit to guys for being emotional in terms of just generally, like even my guy friends, like sometimes they'll come and tell me these things and I'm just like, I beg, you're a man. Like, why are you your feelings type of thing? Right. And I think that it's so unfair because, you know, I've heard people who have been in great relationships, have great sex lives, and they're like talking about these things, and they're talking about how it's very symbiotic, like how it comes hand in hand, and how oftentimes people separate the two. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna have sex with a million people, but it's not gonna impact how my relationship with one person is. So I'll ask you a question. Recently, you blatantly lied on my Instagram questions that you've not been in a relationship for 5 years, but right? You've been in plenty of situationships, and I can't start counting.
Okay, well,
from freshman year.
According to your disclaimer, yes, I can't agree that.
How can I put a disclaimer out at all of you people that replied on my Instagram disregarded?
In
the
my
disclaimer.
Defense, I was in the studio, and I think at the time I do like recording. So I was just like tapping the screen, so obviously like it was quiet. And then I just saw the question. I didn't care to listen to the video because I was in the studio.
So is this how you treat me? Like, I put in effort and love for you people to bring out content, and y'all just scroll past and put me on mute. I'm her.
At least I answered the question.
Wow, that's deep. I'm judging all of you because now thinking about it, maybe that's what happened to like 80% of you guys.
Maybe next time I can type out the disclaimer.
You know what? I'm actually going to come for all of you, and it's fine. It's actually fine. But having said that, do you think that your sex addiction, do you think it also harmed any potential relationships you wanted to like venture in?
Oh yeah, of course. Oh, it definitely did, because you know, it's funny because like just lightly tapping back into church, like you know how they always say, oh, like wait, don't have sex after marriage and stuff like that, and honestly, one of the reasons why I really like even dabbled going back into church and my faith was understanding why certain laws were put in place, and not seeing them more of and not seeing them more of like a religious consequence, or just more of like a human consequence. And you know how they talk about sex, like chemicals are mixed up,
yeah,
there's always what do you call them? Yeah, exactly, soul ties. And quite frankly, even though people tell you that like they're not attached to people that they have sex with, I don't care who you are, at a point in your life that person crossed your mind, even if it was like a one-night stand, that person crossed your mind, especially when the sex is great, because now and like this is what we also have in like people that smoke weed or like do drugs, is that there's always that one high that was memorable, and you always want to get back that same high. But now what makes sex more deadly is that instead of you going to the same substance, you can get this, you can get the same substance from different people.
You mean get the same high from different people.
And different people give you like different highs.
Yeah.
So definitely for me, like, you know, when it got to addiction, to a point of addiction, it got to a point where like I was damn near having sex every day.
So I recently, that's interesting because I recently watched a video and I put it up on my story, and where the guy was basically saying women should actually hold out on sex, like if they're serious about a guy, like they shouldn't have it like early on, just because men think very differently. Like men don't attach the same value, or even if it's not value, but generally speaking, men don't bond early or whatever. Like it's very, so do you think that's true? Like, do you sometimes just put some women in categories as, okay, this one is just like a sex bunny versus this one is actually somebody I want to go the mile with?
So at this time in my life where sex was like very prominent, I saw a lot of people as sex bunnies, but it was a situation where I didn't act on it until I spoke to them first, so I could just get to know who they were. Because, man, there are some people, yes, even though they are sex and everything and everything looks right and, yes, they want to have sex with you, there are some girls that you just don't want to... That,
a bit
that,
mad, yeah?
That you just should not have sex with.
just a tad bit mad.
Just a tad bit mad that you don't want to have sex with. Trust me, I have stories.
Of course you have stories.
But that's a long one. So for me, it wasn't at, like, maybe, like... It wasn't like on like on the like initial like interaction. Maybe like after 10 minutes of talking to the person, then I'll be like, okay, I know if I'm from that person. Because, you know, obviously women, they give, here's my issue about why most men feel this aspect, is that some of them don't know how to read the room. Especially when especially through the conversation. Because some women, from the conversation alone, you already know what kind of person she is. So you have to now like figure out how you now want to approach. At the same time too, there's some women too that their behavior is one way and their sexual desires is another way.
Okay, so now it just seems like, okay, so your approach is always, you know, get to know the person a bit and then moving forward.
I see where your head is at. Yeah,
but my own question is, okay, so you guys are now friends, how can you tell that this one is just staying in that zone of I'm never taking this babe seriously?
Now, this is where, for me, communication is key. I'm the kind of guy that would tell you point blank, I want to have sex with you. Do you want to have sex with me? Some women find this weird to be in that direct and open. And I don't blame them, because in today's society, nobody wants to hint directly at sex. Everybody wants to just... Everybody wants to, like... drop hints there and there, and you can and you pick
they
up.
They don't want the direct word.
Exactly. Nobody, and also nobody wants to seem easy.
Yeah, but okay. So my question now is, right, that just because somebody, you told somebody you want to have sex with them, does that automatically disqualify, and they say, okay, cool, does that automatically disqualify them from being a girlfriend?
Of course not. No. For me, at least, no.
Is the process different for a girlfriend versus a sex partner?
For me right now,
no, when you were in your whole phase.
So when I was my whole phase, the process was definitely different, you know. There were some women, just based off of the interaction, you were like, oh wow, this is actually a really cool person that I actually want to, you know, get to know. Like, for me, now, for that perfect example was the person I was talking to and the person I'm my, like, you know, fuck buddy. When I met my fuck buddy, it was more of like, you know, obviously, well, you know, it was like at like a party. It was after like a party at my place, and I think it was her and her friends were just chilling, because like I think it was raining outside or something like that. So I'm like, we're just like having like a conversation, and you know, and she was cool and calm, like, about everything. Then maybe like by the second day or something like that, we went out, all of us. Then we were dancing. Then I was just like, don't go back to my place.
So one thing led to another.
Another, yeah.
So, okay, so would you say that typically, if you're actually interested in a babe, you would hold out on sex? Like,
yeah.
So typically, like, it wouldn't be the first thing you want to do, or even the second thing.
So for me, I wouldn't say that's me now, but me back then, I did not mind when the sex came in. Just as long as, we agreed that we're going to keep this going. So usually half the time it was usually like the women that were like, oh no, let's just wait it out. I mean, I was like, you know, and I was cool to wait. Most guys are not going to wait. Me, I was like, okay, no problem. Like, basically for me, it was like, she's worth the wait. So I'll wait. That was how me I saw it as. So in a case, in a sense, yeah, there's a difference, because it's like the women that you want to date, you are more willing to wait for the sex, as opposed to the ones where you just want to smack and go. You actually want to just do it there and go, and they say no, okay, next person.
So would you advise women that are listening here to kind of like hold off for a while?
Oh yes.
Like if they're interested in somebody,
basically. Yes, I will say that also, because especially, and even though it's sad to say, men were demons. So there are a lot of guys as well that, because they want to have sex with person, they would even play the whole "I'll wait" type of rubbish. But only to find out that they are just evil people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, but yeah, but wait, and also just like just get to know the person and feel out the person, because even though yes, this person may even be a, even though the person is not intending to even just have sex and go, there are sometimes there's some traits that you just don't want to involve with, that you just don't want to involve yourself with, especially when you even start having sex with the person, because sex as well, sex blurs reasoning that sometimes, especially when it's really good sex, exactly, bloodlines, like they can be, and I know that there are a lot of people that because of the sex was good, they stayed for a little longer
than they should have,
or they found it hard to, like, you know, leave that person, so stuff like that. So definitely wait it out. Try and build the emotional connection, especially if it's someone you want to go with for like long term. Because also too, sex also gets boring. Once you've done everything with that one person, what thing do you want to do? You know, so and I feel like that's even like, and that's even something that even comes down to marriage as well too. Because it's like marriage, at some point, you guys are going to still not want to keep having sex every day. You actually want to get like involved with your partner and know this person. So I say hold out.
So do you think that, like, because of your, like, whole phase being very successful, do you think that that could also lead to difficulties when you're in a relationship in terms of being faithful?
You see, that's something I'm yet to experience, because even though now, okay, yes, now I'm saying the situationships and all this stuff, right? But it was a case where even though I was talking to somebody, there was no, we never said, oh, this is what we are doing, we're going to get to this point or so. And no one ever said, oh, we're being exclusive. So it's like, oh, no problem. And also, mind you, I do clarify this. I do ask, are we exclusive? How are we doing this? Or what are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. I always emphasize communication, like communication. That's the best way, regardless of whoever you are in this world, that's the best way to even get to know anybody. It's just to communicate. So, and especially for men, now this is also like beginning the conversation like about where, for men now, for example, because of things like porn or even just conversations with men like to glorify the idea of having a multiple women. It's in the music, it's in our shows, it's even amongst men, we brag about, oh yeah, I smashed her, So, when you now bring a situation where you have a girlfriend and stuff like that, and also men, even I feel like men as well, we also need to hold ourselves accountable, because we've created this culture of it not being cool to call out your guy for cheating. And if anything, you're meant to have your guys back. And I really want guys to really think about it. It's like, look, man, especially when you're doing that, you yourself are now condoning.
Yeah.
Act, and that means when you do it, that means when you're in your relationship, you're more likely to do it. At first, I thought, like, you know, like that whole best of sin for first get out the technology. Perfect example for me was even hanging out with one of my friends, like one of my friends' places. Like, when I was like, you know, him, they smoke weed, they smoke cigarettes, babes come there, they come out, go, and sometimes they do drugs here and there. So me, I was like, oh, I'm never going to do this. And I'm never going to do it. I'm just going to just do my weed and keep pushing. But there was a day where, like, I really sat there and I was like, you know what? Let me actually indulge in what's going on here. Now, I didn't do any, like, maybe, like, they laced my weed with, like, tobacco. Just, like, you know, just, like, just tried the feeling. I tried it. And I was like, you know what? Pass me the cigarettes. And I took a hit. And then I realized that, oh, it's actually not that bad. Next thing you know, I found myself, there was not one day where I myself went to go and buy a pack of cigarettes. And then I realized that, yo, okay, I'm now becoming my friends. Even though you say you're not going to do it. So hanging around people like that for a long time and not calling them out on things that is wrong, over time, you yourself, even though you say you're not going to do it, your group is doing it, over time, you're going to do it. And I feel like that's why they always recommend, when you're married, stop hanging around your single friends.
Yeah, it depends on what type of single friends.
But I think that is like, when you're married and your friends are not mentally trying to, you know, help you and your marriage, over time, you're going to end up cheating. So I feel like that mentality not bringing out to like men just being faithful in general, a lot of men just do it because they want to do it. And even though when they say that, yes, men really have no reason for why they cheat. They just do it because they can. And also, remember, it's sex. It's a drug. That girlfriend that you've probably had for a long time, they're getting bored. Or maybe because they haven't really, like, you know, had a conversation about their sex life and like what they want to grow, what they want to change. At the end of the day, man, it's all about that communication. As a boyfriend, you feel like you're going to cheat. And also, men need to stop being in a situation where they're going to cheat. And it's funny because a lot of guys, we don't like to admit this, but we know when we're going to cheat. We know if I go to this girl's house, I'm going to sleep with her. We know if I go to this environment, I'm going to be with her. And there are cases where obviously, but the women, you know, come on you as well. So it's like, you know the situation that is going to lead you to cheating.
Yeah.
And we go there anyways.
I mean, so as a guy, what would your advice be for women when, like, deciding on who to be serious with when it comes to, like, avoiding some pitfalls? Like, sorry, let me change that question. Are you saying that people should watch their potential friends because whatever they're doing, he's most likely going to be doing it too?
I see. I wouldn't say that because now in a case, I'm that friend that would tell you, oh, boys, don't cheat on your girlfriend. But you wouldn't say like, so just because you see me and a person hanging together, does that mean like I'm the bad friend? Of course not. But so I would say it all boils down to communication. And also, if you feel there's a red flag, take it as a red flag. Don't be like, I think it's a red flag, but I'm not sure. Because as a woman, I'm pretty sure you know what you want. So when you start to see things not aligned to what you want, and it's a case where it's not even, and it's a case where you can't even communicate to get to that point. Don't hang around. Like, yeah, sure, he's a nice person and everything, but once there are red flags, it's even down to like abusive relationships as well. Abusive men too as well. Like, even on the first interaction, they're not abusive.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a little like overprotective, something like that. Like, but take those actions with a grain of salt because at the end of the day, and again, people change over time. The same person, I'm not the same person I was last year. So literally, take red flags as a red. Any red flag you see, it's a red flag, and it's not up to you to decide if you want to leave or not.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and communicate. And also, this is weird, but ask them about their past relationships. I know like people don't like to do that, but honestly, it helps you gauge the kind of person that you're about to involve yourself with. Because, I mean, people are always going to paint themselves as a good person in relationships, but at the same time, also see it from the perspective of the other person. Because at the end of the day, a breakup is two ways.
Yeah.
Even though yes, the love cases where, you know, it was like a one-sided thing, but a breakup is still two ways. The person acted that way because of the other person.
Yeah. Do you know what I find helpful is that I always like to ask people, like, what are the things people say about you, like complain about you, like, just to see what they say.
No one is going to say that though.
You know, people do, like, really? people would be like, oh, you know, just like when you do like 21 questions or like so not anything deep, just like on a non-serious thing,
pet peeves,
you know, what did your ex hate about you, things like that, right? Because once you start asking those questions, it's not intuitive for the person to automatically lie. They might still actually tell you the truth. And I always say this, believe it when somebody says it. If somebody's like, babes are always complaining that I don't reply messages, guy, he doesn't reply messages. Like, it's not a, because it'll always be like, ah, you know, she just always wanted me to text her. He's telling you straight that just prepare yourself. Like, your phone, you're going to be on R for a long time.
Yep.
So I think there's little things like that. But yeah, like, thank you for like sitting down and being as open as possible. This has definitely been interesting. Do you have any final words?
Oh yeah, we don't talk about like the mentality of men and sex and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We didn't do that. Okay. Yeah. That
I'll do like a quick like
rundown.
A quick rundown of that, like you know, in particular, like, you know, what sex is. Sex is an amazing thing. Let's not misconstrue that, because we talk about sex like it's this bad thing that we should not be doing. But right, sex is a good, there's a reason why human beings, or if anything, think about it, when you think about all like animals, I actually read this in a book and like it blew my mind. Like, think about what is a common factor for every animal in this world. We have sex.
Well, amoebas don't.
Come on now, how about... Okay, sorry. Every sexual reproducing animal.
Okay, fine, mammals.
Okay, perfect. Mammals is we have sex. And for sex, we get pleasure. So, it's not a bad thing. And basically, there's an incentive to even have sex because it's pleasurable. So, but additionally, it's now how you experience it, your initial experience, or the first steps you take for sex. A lot of people, their first experience of sex is porn. I remember for me, this was like just one. I was like in boarding school. And I remember, like, you know, maybe someone snuck their phone like into the hostel. And they had porn on, like, you know, maybe like two, three minute clips. I remember the housemaster. Yes, my housemaster, one of the housemasters, one of the, like, the younger ones. He was like my guardian at the time. I remember there was one time that I was like really sick that week, so like because they used to lock all the dorms. So he let me, like, you know, sleep like in his room. And I remember that just like, you know, one time just being bored and nothing's gonna cause you in the dorm, and no one is there, it's just you in like in this room, and he had like TV and like and CDs, or like just trying to like find like you know, find some movies to watch. And I remember that just seeing like a stack of like pornography. And I was like, whoa. And obviously now hormones are raging. At this time, I just figured out what masturbation was. So obviously I'm going home now. I started playing something, and it would just be like clips of different scenes here and there. Honestly, I feel like that's even where why I'd even skip the intro part of porn and just go straight to the good part, because it's like, because like my intro to it was, it's happening right there and there, you know. This trickled down like to men as well. For like most guys, their first sexual experience or their first exposure to sex is pornography. And you are young at this time, so you think this is real, but you know, one thing, but little do you know that this is all just acting. I remember the first porn I ever saw, the first porn that I looked up for, that I searched for online, when I was like porn, like I was like on Google, I was like porn XXX. And the first site that popped up was like this lesbian site. So literally for like a good month or two, I was literally just going through lesbian porn for a long time. And quite frankly, I feel like this is also where like that interesting, like, you know, that how men have interest like in lesbians and like, you know, and threesomes come about, because for a lot of guys, I'm pretty sure, because lesbian porn is actually the easiest porn to find.
Really?
Yeah, it's like you can literally Google porn, and the first five links will probably be something linked to like, you know, a lesbian porn. Lesbian porn is also the most searched type of porn, a genre of porn. Yeah, like, because also for women, women watch porn as well, but for women, honestly, women, how they watch porn is actually interesting.
Really?
Yeah, because for a lot of women, for like, especially like a lot of women, like some women would watch porn, like the kind of porn that they would watch is kind of sex that they would not see themselves engaging in. So some women, they like to watch porn where like it's like nine guys and one babe. Because obviously, like, they wouldn't do that, because, like, you know, it's like a fantasy.
Yeah.
So women will rather like watch a fantasy and, you know, and just see how it acts out and blah blah blah. Whereas men, we want to act out our fantasies.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I always thought that with women, it's also like women read a lot of erotica, like erotic books rather than porn. Mostly because and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think men are a whole lot more visual.
Right.
Like women are more mentally stimulated than...
You know, now that I think about it, because I remember there were times when like maybe like the girlfriend out from 5 years ago.
Mm.
Yes. I remember she was really into texting or
sexting.
Yeah, sexting. So like it was more of like seeing what I would do to her,
mm-hmm.
and that was literally a turn off for her the entire time. So actually, I never realized, I never saw it that way.
See me helping people to fornicate.
I mean, so things that for me, like obviously, I understand sexting, so like I would do it if I have to, but it's not like, no, exactly, like it's not like, so it's, say, after, I mean, like, me, sexually, I'm a pleaser, so for me, as long as woman is pleased, like, I'm okay.
Mm.
So like, I'll do what you want because just for the fact that it's going to, like, you'll be, you know, satisfied. Now, for men, it's not always the case. Most men are thinking about themselves first because their sexual experiences, as far as they see in porn, men are being satisfied. Like it's usually the guy that just comes in and he doesn't even have to do much. Mm. And here he is knocking this babe and just going ham. So a lot of guys now apply that in real life. And, mm-hmm. And we all come to realize that that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is going to drop down their pants because you are bringing them pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually, you know, do you know a lot of guys, their fantasy is to knock an air hostess? And I'm like, how are you going to convince the air hostess that is trying to do her job on a plane? I mean, don't get me wrong, some guys have done it. But it's like, do you know how much, like, the kind of person you have to be, effort you have to be to convince a whole other human being that you haven't met before that is walking to tell her, skip walk, let's go and knock in the toilet?
You know, I've always found that men are strange.
Yeah,
so
we are.
You know, I don't know. Like your fantasies are very different.
Yeah, but yeah, like you know, like so it's just like a lot of like, and I feel like also because I don't want to blame fathers because fathers are not like, you know, because our parents are just going based off how they grew up and you know and what they learned and everything like that. But I feel like fathers should really be more involved with their son and let them understand what sex really is and their role as a man in sex. So I feel like that, like, that's something like men don't also like understand their role in sex. They feel like, okay, so just go bust your nut and get out.
Mm.
Not realizing that, oh, like, no, like the woman also has to get off as well. Like, you know, you have to do things to get there. But like, yeah, but you know, for a lot of guys, it's just like that, their first interaction with sex has always been, you know, so tainted in different ways, and it could be porn, it could be housemaids. I remember like in Jess 3, it was a thing that, I knocked my housemaid.
Mm.
And you know, at the time we thought like, he's the guy. But later on you come to realize that, yo, this guy knocked his housemaid.
Mm.
You know, or I remember there was one of my friends, Jess 2 vividly, one of my guys was talking about how he knocked his housemaid and everything. Then he was talking about how, like, basically he was breaking down to us what sex was,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, he was talking about everything that happened and how it happened. From what he explained, he basically did not put any efforts.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened,
mm-hmm.
and then he was like, "Yeah, but after you have sex, man, like your dick is going to itch the first time." And at the time, I was like, "Oh, maybe chemicals was the first thing." But now that I know what's it, I'm like, "Yo, wait."
That is such a terrible thing.
I was like, oh no, wait, no.
I really hope you eventually got that tested.
I mean, I want to believe you did too, but like now.
Checked, sorry, not tested. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like now, rising, they're like, oh wait, no.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like honestly, like, I don't know.
Also, like, I feel like for when it comes to teaching sex to men and sex to women, they're taught sex as more of something you avoid, something you have to wait out on.
Mm-hmm.
For men, it's men are going to be men.
Mm.
It's allowed. It's a bragging right.
Do you think men would be happier if, you know, there wasn't so much pressure for them to have sex?
You see, that I'll never understand. I don't think I would know because even in history, even in time, kings have always had multiple wives and concubines. So like, it's been a situation where men have welcomed sex as a rite of passage. So I feel like the first thing we have to do is to break down that idea of sex being a rite of passage. Because I remember Devin talks well when maybe one of my friends' younger brothers in uni finally had sex and we're like, yeah, you're a man now. And it's like, no, not really. Like, there are multiple things that make you a man. If anything, nobody's really a man until like...
Are you paying bills?
As in, you're not even paying bills. You're not even like... You're not even taking care of the house that you're living in. You're not even helping clean the house. You're not even doing anything. So it's like, you can't really call yourself a man. Even myself, I'm 25 and I have a more like mature way of thinking. I don't see myself as a man yet because I'm not paying my bills.
Yeah.
The car driving on my car is my father's car.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like for men, we have to really break down that idea of, oh, sex as a rite of passage or sex as a birthright.
I mean, do you know that just... Generally, it's just strange because it's the one way for sure to either get an STD or get pregnant. It's like the most effective, like it's the only way really. Well, not the only one, thank God for science, but I mean, it's a risky thing. Having sex is such a risky business.
Even the pregnancy one, you would think, oh, people would people would behave themselves once they have their first child. But you look at different examples, whiskey, for example. The first child not calm him down.
Second one didn't.
The third one didn't. Well, Davido, first one did not calm him down.
And second one
calm him down before he even got married.
Mm.
So it's for us, it's like, and again, we have too many examples of men that, oh, because now, for example, now you can be like, oh, so you can have money and have kids. Cool, no problem. So most men don't even strive for marriage because now it's like, oh, as long as they have money, nobody like complain. Even families as well, too, as well. Like, as long as you have money, like, nobody is holding you for having kids. Whereas, like, for women, it's a different consequence. Even though, yeah, you have money and everything, but because you're not married and you're having a child, it's a whole different consequence.
Mm.
So, yeah. So I feel like us as a society, we have to really sit down and break that narrative and keep the consequences of sex both equal for men and women. Because even in secondary school, so I remember SS3, there was this 2-day seminar where they were talking about sex and all the consequences of that. Mm-hmm. And I remember like one of the guys that was talking, this guy offloaded over 200 STDs, but pertaining to women. So, and the only time he talked about anything wrong for men was, oh, don't be giving oral sex anyhow. That was a guy that he loved giving oral sex to everybody, and next thing you know, he was like, I think he gave so much head to women that the bacteria was messing around with like his throat.
Mm.
And blah blah blah. And I was like, oh wow. Like, so don't get me wrong, that freaked me out for a little bit too, because I was like, oh wow, that's weird. But then you watch porn and I'm like, these guys child box almost every single show. They're fine.
Are they actually doing it though?
Oh no. So
I know sometimes they are. I mean, lots of times they are, but sometimes it's not actually as...
I mean, yeah, true. But then again, it's like, but one thing I realize is that, especially because at the end of the day, especially to have proper sex, you need lubrication.
Mm.
And one of the easiest ways to get lubrication and also get the babe, you know, horny enough is traveling box.
Now, wow, look at you dropping TMI all over my podcast. But anyway...
It's sex now. Sex is a very TMI topic.
Yeah. What was I going to say? But yeah, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, we have.
Literally, I think we've covered everything. But thank you for coming on and being so honest and open. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And when is your EP coming out? Maybe that's what they call it, EP.
EP. It's funny because it's 12 tracks, so people are calling it like an album. So people say just got an album.
An album, yeah. I was about to say, isn't an EP like 6 or something?
But I think they're like, because I know, like, because technically, an album runs for 45 minutes to an hour, whereas an EP runs for under 30 minutes. So the project runs for under 30 minutes, but it's 12 tracks.
Okay, all right. So that's what I'm calling an EP. When does it come out?
It comes out, well, by this time this is out, it's probably already out, but it's coming out on the 25th of September.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the project is called Anesthetic. It basically talks about my life and my journey from third year of uni to coming back to Nigeria and just how I navigate that all through music.
Fair enough. Maybe once it's out, we'll have you back to discuss this whole journey. Yeah. Adulting. God, I hate adulting.
Adulting is another TMI topic.
I hate adulting so much. It's just expensive. Like, somebody should come in and I don't know. Yeah.
It is.
But adulting. So, guys, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe and follow and share. And also, I will be putting our special guest's info inside the description box. So, until next time, bye.
Bye.